Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Playmakers proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. A big shout out to Phil and the gang over there. Buy local, support local. Support our friends at Quality Plus Printing. We're here to take your phone calls, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. I am sitting back with my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Morning, all.
And we have Seth Habegger in with us as well.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Wanted to start the show off talking a little baseball, and I've got two of the biggest baseball fans I know in the room here, and we're about a week and a half, 2 weeks into the season, so I wanted to get your guys' take on the new baseball rules and the season in general. We all have teams that we love and players that we love and everything, so we could be distracted a little bit, maybe talking about those. I'm focused in on the rule changes and, mm-hmm. and how they have affected the game, how they have affected your viewing of the game, because I blinked the other day and the game was over, and I didn't realize, like, I've heard tons of people talking about the games being sped up and everything, and then it actually, I experienced it. I was like, what happened just now? That mm-hmm. the game's over. I'm looking at my fantasy team and the stats are all there. I'm like, wait a minute, is that over already? How have you guys been feeling about the game itself? Have you been able to even take in much baseball or anything like that?
Well, I think first to your point of how the game has been sped up, I think I've mentioned this before, how last year I would count between pitches and I would get up to 30 seconds, it seemed like every pitch. So I found out that I could watch two different things at the same time between pitches.
Yeah.
Now if you switch channels, you come back, there's an out, and they're in a 3-2 count.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The inning's over with, right?
It really does go that quickly.
It does.
You know, an interesting point that I also heard was when they're trying to get a reliever set to come in case the pitcher gets in trouble, because this happens so fast, you know, all of a sudden it balloons and things are out of, you know, control before you can get reliever in there because he hasn't had sufficient time to warm up. That's one thing I never thought about with the pitch.
I didn't either. Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're going to have to start adjusting now. They're going to have to start. You can't really anticipate when a pitcher is suddenly going to lose his stuff.
Right.
So it's going to be really interesting to see. I'm sure that they're going to find different little ways to stall, because they'll find little. But there really isn't a lot they can do at this time, you know. Even the batters have only one timeout per at bat, too. So, I mean, yeah.
I got it. In football and soccer, they do this already. You want to drag out time, fake an injury.
Fake an injury,
I want to see. I want to see, like, baseball players trying to do that now. Like, the pitcher's just up there and all of a sudden falls down. Like, cramp!
Starts looking at his fingernail. Oh, what's wrong here? Come on, trainer, come out. Yeah, okay.
How many times can you tie your shoes?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Baseball managers are going to have a new move in the dugout: stretch. The stretch. We need you to stretch. Buy some time. I hadn't thought about the reliever situation. That's huge. Immediately, my mind, first thing that popped in my head, playoffs. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine how that is going to affect playoff by baseball. That's interesting. Let's take a call real quick. Good morning. You are on Playmakers.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
We're well. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. You know, I saw an interview stat the other day that they said that the games have sped up. What is it, like, by a half hour?
Mm-hmm.
And in baseball, I guess that's, if you think about it, from games being anywhere from the 3 to 3.5 hours, I mean, that's pretty, you know, pretty quick. And yeah, you walk away, turn the TV off for a second, I mean, you lose an inning.
Yeah.
But how is this going to affect the people at the stadium?
Oh, yes.
I mean, how many people are going to want to go to a game? You know, they go to a game, they want to get a hot dog, and all of a sudden they miss a full inning or an inning and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to the bathroom or do something. How are the owners going to take that? Because now people aren't going to come to the stadium to spend money because...
Well, it's way too early to tell if that's going to affect that. I mean, they're having a hard time already getting people in the ballpark, and the whole reason they were having a hard time getting people in the ballpark is because the games lasted too long. Now you're telling the same people that it's going to be shorter and less people are still going to show up, or even lesser people are going to show up. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. We've just started doing this. We'll see how that sales, how it affects, you know, ticket sales and all those things. What I do think of, and I think it's a great thing that you bring up, sir, is I think of preseason football games and how they'll charge you the same price for that as a week 14 game. And, like, that has never felt right to me. Like, you're not getting the same product. Now, you're not going to see them necessarily lowering ticket sales or anything like that, but you're going to have to do something, because this is definitely, you're going to have to, people want to get their money's worth. no matter what we're talking about. So if I don't feel like I'm getting my money's worth, even if it is the game's more exciting, the game's faster, I'm getting out of here quicker and all that stuff, is that going to be enough for people to feel like they got their money's worth? It is a curious thing to bring up. It is an interesting thing to bring up.
Well, you know, and then you talk about the relievers. You know, if they go by the Craig Council way of method, you're going to have guys ready to go by fifth inning anyway, because this starter is going anywhere past the fifth inning.
Yeah.
A pitcher can go quick, but I think that these guys are going to, I think the coaches will adapt pretty quick on, maybe looking at the fifth inning and getting the guy up and just at least playing catch for a little bit, because, like you said, it could take seconds and their pitcher just blow up.
You almost have to have two guys get up, don't you? Because, if you bring in the one reliever and he just struggles, you wouldn't have time to get that second guy up even. So they're probably having two guys warm up every time now.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that one, too. I mean, it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of changes coming. Some people might not like it, but I'm kind of digging it. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
You can actually sit down and watch a game now,
yeah.
Even if you're not there. I mean, you could listen to it or watch it on TV, and it's much better. It doesn't take forever. You don't have to, you watch it on TV, you watch all those commercials.
I will say the same thing I'd say to anybody that doesn't like these rules. I'd say the same thing I'd say to Bryce Harper, who doesn't seem to like these rules. Tough.
Yeah, like,
too bad. It's not going backwards. They're not reversing ship or anything like that with this. What I could see is some adjustments, some tinkering. Mm-hmm. I think that you got to have advertisers in baseball's ear and saying, hey, our commercial breaks are a lot shorter. Hey, these kind of things. So I could see possibly the pitch count going up by 5 seconds. I could see little adjustments like that, but I don't think that you're going to see any huge, like the huge changes were just made.
We just made them, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Has anybody else been weirded out by the bases yet? Like the bigger size bases? I hear players talking about it, but I'm watching the game and I'm like, I mean, all right, I can tell they're a little bigger, but not like they look cartoonish or anything like that.
Big inflatable thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like an inch and a half on a side.
Yeah, right.
And I think one of the very first games, one of the Brewers collided with the first base or the pitcher coming over on a flip.
Yep. Yeah.
Isn't that why we
exactly.
So this doesn't happen?
Shout out to the Brewers for having a real first baseman, too. Rowdy Tellez, that's a first baseman. That's the first baseman we all grew up with and everything. You don't see those guys anymore. Andrew Vaughn over in Chicago, a little bit, but no. Rowdy Tellez, that's the first baseman I grew up
He's
with.
He's our Boog Powell.
Yes, yeah, that's right. He's part of my all-beefy team.
Yes, yeah.
Like Daniel Vogelbach, those guys. I love those guys. They're my favorite players, yeah.
Good stuff. Brewers, a successful start to the season, too. A nice campaign for them starting off here. Sir, I didn't know if you had anything else. I was trying to tee you up.
I agree with the Brewers. I mean, it's going to be a fun team to watch. I mean, it's early.
Yeah.
You can't, the young guys are going to have their moment. Mm-hmm. They're going to, they might go in that 0-for-12 slump or whatever, but it seems like they rejuvenated some of the locker room a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the Brewers do have a big issue coming up here. There's, especially in the outfield. And I kind of wanted to pose this question to Seth and Randy there. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do with Yelich?
Because of
the young talent they have in the outfield, how much longer? I know we have 6 years with Yelich and $28 million a year. What are we going to do with him if he goes into this slump again? And you got guys that are ready to come up. I mean, Tyrone Taylor's probably going to be coming up here soon. Mm-hmm. Reyes might be ready to go here soon.
You got a couple aces to pay, too.
Yeah. If you can.
If you
right,
can.
Yeah.
If you can. You got two of the best starting pitchers in baseball that you want to pay as well. It's a good question.
And I think if Yelich continues to go 3-for-5 like he did yesterday, that kind of takes some of the burden off, too.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, sir. We'll answer your question here. I've been wondering this for, you know, a couple of years, as most, I think a lot of fans of baseball, let alone Brewer fans, mm-hmm. have been wondering. Especially as these contracts get crazier and crazier. You see what San Diego, what the Mets have been doing and everything. Mm-hmm. The Yelich contract doesn't look as bad anymore. But when you're a small market team, right. that's an albatross. You kind of almost have to think that at the trade deadline, winning or losing, no matter how the Brewers are doing, that's a big trade piece right there. That's something that, whether he's having a good season or not, whether they're winning or not, I could see them being sellers with him to bring in something else.
Do you think it's kind of like with Aaron Rodgers? Now we're a year removed.
First thing I thought of.
Right? And it's like, we should have got rid of him last year. So if he does have a good year, this is the time to see if they can move him.
It really depends on, I think, where they're seated at the trading deadline, where their record is. If they have, because now with the expanded playoffs, the chances of getting into the postseason is so much greater now. I have trouble seeing if he's having a good year, they're not going to get rid of him.
No.
And if he's having a bad year, who's going to want? I mean, that's the thing with his contract. It's going to be a hard sell. It really is going to be a hard sell. So
he's also a really good locker room guy. Mm-hmm. Like nobody ever brings this up around him. I'm not saying being a good locker room guy is worth $20-some million a year. Like
right.
I don't know about that. But you have never seen Christian Yelich get bent with a reporter. Mm-hmm. Or take out on a manager or a teammate. You've never seen him do anything like that. All he's done is kept his head up and answered questions and done what he could do. It's pretty easy to do that when you're getting paid $20 million a year, I'll admit. But I think he still deserves credit for that. That's going to make, if they're winning, it's really hard to get rid of especially baseball. They don't want to mess with that chemistry. They don't want to mess with that mm-hmm. locker room. Look at what San Diego did bringing Soto in late last year. They thought, whoa, bringing Juan Soto, it's going to make us a playoff contender. They barely made it into the playoffs.
You know, and he's a good community member, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In that way, he's kind of the face of the franchise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People in Milwaukee love him. So they're a little bit more forgiving if he struggles. And annoying he had the bad back, that he struggled with that. But, mm-hmm. You see a lot of pitchers still respecting him because he gets a lot of walks.
Yeah. He does.
You know?
Yeah.
He's a good on-base guy, too. He's still hitting the ball reasonably hard if you look at his exit velocity. He's just not hitting it in the air. He's hitting it more on the ground in line drive, which is what he did early in his career, which I'm not sure what happened. I'm guessing it's probably something to do with his body.
Oh,
I can almost guarantee it had something to do with that. He can't do that thing that made him an MVP candidate, 3 years. But, looking ahead with the Brewers, I'm really hoping they have a really good year this year.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, I know the first piece that's going at the trading deadline, that's Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
He's number one because of the bad blood from the arbitration process this year. I do not see him staying in Milwaukee.
And
not
he's struggling
at all.
With a 9-point whatever ERA right,
right
now.
I think he'll right the ship.
Yeah.
I think he will. I mean, but still, I think he's going to be gone sooner rather than later.
You know, the other thing that's interesting, too, talking about those young bucks that they now have, mm-hmm. names that we've never heard before, probably, for your average fan.
Can't pronounce Turang.
Yeah,
Turang. However you say his name.
I love him, and I can't think of how to say his name, but
it's
I love
Turing,
that kid.
Turang or Turang.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't sure Euchre was confident with it either. It was good to hear him say it.
But the interesting part that might happen is they'll get enough film on these guys, and they'll figure out the pitches they can't hit.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just how
it is. It's about making the adjustments. Yep. Then they have to adjust to the adjustment,
so
and go back and forth.
Yeah. That's what will be interesting in about the next month or so, I think.
I have just going in more about the rules changes and stuff. So we have, of course, seen stolen base attempts, and more importantly, stolen base success has been very high so far this year. I think a team that we really need to keep a close eye on, they had a very good weekend, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Like they said, jackrabbits. They stole 5 bags in the game yesterday.
Wow.
They've got a bunch of players who are fast, and they had 16 hits on Saturday. And against the Dodgers, they played, two really good games. They scored double digits in 2 games against the Dodgers, and they're not a power team. They were talking about Bob Brenly, who does the Diamondbacks game, was talking about it reminds him of the 80s Cardinals. The team that were built for speed. Yeah. They had like one power. Jack Clark was their one power guy. Everyone else, Vince Coleman, Ozzie Smith, Tommy Herr, all of those guys. Willie McGee. They all could steal bases.
Oh, I forgot about Willie
McGee.
Yes,
they got a lot of hits. They got on base, and they stole tons of bases. This is what I was hoping would happen, with at least with someone. So I am fascinated with how the Diamondbacks do this year.
Don't say Willie McGee to a Brewers fan. He probably 82.
Yeah, I remember.
But, you know, that's interesting because tonight the Brewers start their series, isn't it, with the D-backs?
Yes, they do. I think they're in Arizona.
Arizona. And they're so fast, I think one guy stole a base and he wasn't even on.
Yeah.
So that just tells you the speed they
is really cooking.
You know, what I love about baseball, maybe more than any other sport, is the desire to win at all costs, even if you don't have the talent. How can I win? How can I manipulate the game and play this chess game better than the other guy, even though I don't have that new, that Yankees, you know, 28, 48, Murderer's Row and stuff.
Oh, yeah, 27
Yankees or whatever. And the idea, well, I saw Ozzie Guillen do this with the White Sox, where, okay, I got a great pitching staff. I got a bunch of guys that can hit doubles and singles and everything. We're going to start stealing some bases. We're going to start playing some small ball. And that got us a title. It's just as cool to me to see these teams with big names or the big bats or anything like that is seeing that and just great defense and some small ball, and you got a World Series.
Yeah, there's a good chance there. And there's also a good chance that the Rays may not lose a game this year. With the start that they have had, I have been watching them, and I'm like, this team, they are going places. Yes, they have not been playing tough teams right now, but they have been dominating the teams they have been playing. I'm really curious to see when they start going up against the Yankees, against the Blue Jays. Then it's going to be really interesting because their pitching is so good, and now all of a sudden they've got all these guys. Wander Franco. What the heck?
Yeah, you know.
So people were writing him off last year, and he's just on fire right now. I mean, my goodness.
I love I don't really take a lot of pleasure in this, but I really do love the idea of some, you know, these billionaire, millionaire owners just sitting there like Steve Cohen in New York, who's just or the guy in San Diego just throwing tons and tons of money at all this. And then there's Tampa Bay, who's got like $5, like their payroll's $5, and just killing it year after year after year. I just love that so much. Like, I can't imagine how frustrated those guys are. Like, give me another shortstop. You need another shortstop. But another one. They're still not winning.
Yep.
You know, you mentioned rule changes earlier, and you just alluded to it. Another interesting one, I don't know what your opinion on this one is, but everybody's starting on the correct side of second base, so to speak. And they have to have their feet on the infield dirt.
Right.
And there's been a couple of bloopers that have gone out, you know, between second and right that have just dropped in there.
Yep.
So that might just also add two more hits as well. Yep. Just that little bit of a rule change, right?
Well, the games I was watching this weekend, I think I saw more in just these last 3 days of ground balls up the middle that went through for hits than I have seen in 4 years. And I love it. I mean, that was always the thing. You hit the ball up the middle, you're going to get your base hits. And I was kind of, you know, on the fence about the rule against the shift changes. And of course, there's still shifting going on. They just limited, basically, is what it is. But to me, that's it. You know, home runs are not necessarily up right now. But I think I've been seeing more. It's so weird. They've like suddenly changed their swing now that the shift is gone. And they're starting to, you know, hit it the opposite way. Toronto has been a great example. I mean, apparently they came into the season, everyone, we're all going to hit it the opposite way.
Yeah.
And their pitching's been a little suspect so far, but their offense has been going great. So, I mean, something I did not expect to see.
I'm curious to see once we get some real data here, and you know, it's only been a couple of weeks, so I want to see more so at the end of the year or even at the All-Star break, if strikeouts are up or down or if they're about the same. Because that was one of the things, I was so focused on the stolen base thing that the first month after these rule changes were announced, all I could think about was stolen bases. So much so that I'm not ashamed, but I'm also not proud to admit that I spent a good 2 or 3 hours going through and watching Ricky Henderson stolen base highlights, Vince Coleman stolen base highlights. I kind of went through a little thing there. I'm curious to see that if that will change, because I think that that's another reason that they could bring to this. We saw a lot more strikeouts in the last 4 or 5 seasons because it was all or nothing. Either yep. I hit a home run or it's not worth it.
The three true three true outcomes, a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. Basically. Yeah.
This part of the intentions of these rule changes was more balls in play,
yep.
more batters on the bases, that kind of thing. That to me means if I'm a home run hitter or I'm coming up to the plate, I want to make contact. I don't want to just hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing more the way baseball was meant to be played, at least the way I grew up with it, at least.
It'd be interesting, you know, all these adjustments that are now starting after we play an entire year. Won't it be interesting to watch the playoffs and see the little twerks that they made to the rules, how they will affect? And this team ended up winning Game 7 because they couldn't throw it over to first base anymore, and he stole second. They got a base hit, and they won because there's no shift.
Yeah, right, I mean, right.
All of that would play into one play, which would win the World Series or something. That'd be crazy.
The only thing that would shock me about this World Series that's going to come up this year is if the rule changes don't have any effect on the game. Like, I believe that we're going to – it's what that scenario just gave us, Randy, some scenario like that, Game 4, Game 6, Game whatever, something's going to happen where that starting pitcher is on the mound and maybe he takes too long or the batter takes too long or something like that. Something's going to happen in that World Series that's going to be controversial.
I'm sure it will. I mean, even just – and you know, you just notice it every now and then. It happened in the Houston Jose Abreu was called out for delay of game. He struck out because the pitch clock, he wasn't ready. And yep, see ya, bye. You know, it's only happened a couple times so far this year, but it's gonna happen in a World Series or a playoff game, and at a very crucial juncture. And then people are gonna start like, wah, what's going on, that kind of thing. Okay, so this isn't a new rule, but I'm just kind of curious. So we have to come up with a new name, and I want to start here.
Yeah.
For the runner they place on second in extra innings, which I don't like. I'm not a fan of that.
I don't like that.
They've called it the ghost runner. That is incorrect. That is not what a ghost runner is. Okay, you can't, because it's you know that the ghost runner is a thing, and we all know who played baseball as kids. When you don't have enough players, that's what the ghost runner is.
Right.
So other people have been calling it other things. We need to call it the zombie runner.
Ooh.
Because the person was literally brought back from the dead. So it's the last person to make the out the inning before he's brought back from the dead and put on second base.
Oh, I like that.
The zombie runner.
Zombie runner.
People aren't calling it that. We got to get on the band. Okay, everyone. We got to start working on it. It's got to be the zombie runner.
This show is huge. It's bound. Now that you've said it on this show, I'm sure that the masses MLB's are going to be listening. Saying.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I love that, man. That's good. I'm with you, though. Of all the rule changes that baseball has made in the last 30, 40 years, I'll go far, far back on this one. None of them have seemed lamer to me than that one.
You know what? My opinion, I liked it because the game was already 3.5 hours long.
Well, then,
now it might go another 4 hours until they score.
Yeah.
But now with the speeding up of the game, now you could maybe take that one away.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. To me, it's lame now. I should have been more specific. Yeah. I didn't think it was so bad then because I'm glad that they were trying anything just to get the game moving.
Yeah. Yep.
Now I'm with you, Randy. I don't think that they need it as much now.
I think this is one of those rare times when the players and the fans are on like opposite sides of this, because the players wanted this. They love it because they don't have to stay out there for you ask any player, they don't want to be out 15 innings.
Yeah,
right. That's a drain. I mean, even how fast the games are going right now. So I think the players really like that rule. And I know they don't do it for the postseason, which I'm glad they don't do it. That would be a bit much. Mm-hmm. But still, I don't like it.
Let's take a call before we go to break. Good morning, you're on Playmakers.
Hey, guys. I got a cool rule change for you.
Hmm.
How about Ichiro comes back and has to play at least one game for every team?
Yes.
That's a good one.
I know. I bet he can still hit.
I think he's probably playing ball somewhere anyway. I mean,
all these guys are. All these guys go back to their home country and play until like their late 40s and everything. Yeah, why not? I think it's a great idea.
Isn't Ruben Sierra still playing somewhere?
Definitely.
Probably.
Ruben Sierra is definitely playing
Ricky
somewhere.
Ricky Henderson is somewhere. Yeah. He's like 60 years old. He's playing somewhere.
Ichiro.
Yeah, right. And he's still probably faster than half the guys in the league.
Yeah, that's true.
I had to look it up. Ichiro Suzuki is 49 years old. I'm looking at a picture of him. Other than a little bit of gray, he looks the exact same.
And he's probably going, oh, I could steal bases right now.
Yes.
Can you imagine? He would have stole 100 bases if they had this rule, man.
By the break.
Yeah.
I want to extend this. I love this idea so much. I want every major league team to have like a that guy that we all rooted for, that we liked, but maybe he wasn't an all-star. Maybe he wasn't
Gorman,
you know,
Thomas.
Storm Gorman. Guys like that. And then we bring him back. We bring him back for like a game or two or something. Like put him in a jersey. Maybe they you know have a hit or two, play DH or something. I don't know. Yeah, but I love this idea.
Every team could have an Ichiro day, you know?
Yes. I like it. Always good to talk with you, man. We got to go to break. Thanks for the call.
I wouldn't mind having Robin Yount or Paul Molitor up there for a hit either.
Oh, yeah. Right? Paul Molitor especially. He could still probably get a hit.
I think so.
I would be more surprised if Paul Molitor couldn't get a hit.
Yeah, that guy.
Take a break. But Seth, thanks a lot for hanging out
with us. Hey, no problem. It was so fun. I'll talk baseball all day long.
Yeah, well, we are definitely going to talk more. We'll be pulling your ear again here for sure. When we come back, Randy's got some local coverage for us. We'll take some more of your phone calls. It's Playmakers brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, 10:32 on the clock. Randy and James here with you. We have the phone lines open, 424-2600. Don't just hang out on the sideline. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. For now, Randy's got some local coverage for us.
Yeah, with a little better weather last week, we were able to get a few more games in. So high school baseball, softball, more in session now. Looking at a few of the area teams for high school baseball. Back last Monday, Wisconsin Rapids took a pair at home from Antigo, 13-1 and 9-1 in game one. Brennan Huber had a pair of triples and picked up the W on the mound, while Caleb Ellis was the winner in game two. And then on Friday, it was another sweep, this time of Rhinelander, 4-1 and 14-2. As the Raiders now improve to 4-0, Ethan Freeman picked up the win in game one, while Josh Dekarski got the victory in the nightcap, and Caleb Ellis added three RBIs. Last Monday, Nakusa played their first game of the season, and they lost at home to Spencer, 14-2. Then on Tuesday, also at home, the Papermakers scored twice in the bottom of the seventh to rally past Rosholt, 6-5. Carter Jensen was 2-for-2, while Nash Kretschmer scored three times and knocked in a pair of runs. Nakusa will play at Pittsville this afternoon. And speaking of the Panthers, they slipped past Rib Lake, 2-1. And speaking of this afternoon, both Assumption and Port Edwards have their season openers on the road, as the Royals will be at Stratford, while the Blackhawks will head over to Wild Rose. In girls' high school softball action, Wisconsin Rapids improved to 3-0 and 1-0 in the Valley as they smothered Merrill 7-1. Sydney Helber had a double and a triple for the Raiders, while Rhiannon Carroll was the winning pitcher. In their first game, it took Nakusa just three innings to stop Spencer 17-2. Aubrey Beerboom picked up the W on the hill, while Michaela Andrews was 2-for-2 with a double and two RBIs, and she struck out the side to end the ball game. And Pittsville picked up a win at Tri-County, 17-5. They'll host Nakusa this afternoon, while just like the boys, the Assumption girls will be at Stratford, and the Port girls will travel to Wild Rose. From the pitch in girls' soccer, Wisconsin Rapids lost at home on Tuesday to Onalaska in a non-conference tilt, 1-0. On Thursday, they bounced back, tossing a shutout of their own, 7-0 over the Hodags. Kate Schaefer had the hat trick for Lincoln. And then on Saturday, it was a third shutout, this time Rapids losing at Waukesha West, 8-0. And Assumption High School began their season right where they left off from last year's 22-1 year, as they pounded Adams Friendship, 8-0. Get this, Kendall Gilman, 6 goals.
Woo!
6 goals.
Whoa.
For Kendall.
Oh.
The Royals will host Mauston tomorrow at 5:00.
I think I had that my whole soccer career.
Wow. I'd be tired watching all of that.
Yeah.
In track and field action, all on Tuesday, the Wisconsin Rapids boys took on Spash over in Stevens Point. Teal Lucas placed first in the 400-meter dash and took second in the 60-meter and 200-meter dashes, while Connor Akey finished in second in putting the shot. For the Lady Raiders, they were at the Wausau West invite, where Ava Etheridge took second in the 55-meter dash, and Mason Schold was third in the 800-meter run, while Pittsville's Reese Grimm placed second in that same 800-meter run. At the Merriwood invite for the boys, Stratford claimed the crown, and Assumption took 11th spot, while for the girls, it was Newman claiming the crown and the Royals finishing ninth. For the Royals, freshman Bella Thomas captured first in the 60-meter dash and second in the 400-meter dash. So those are just a few of the area things that took place this last week. A lot of makeups that probably still will be going on from the snowy start, but hopefully things will be great this week to get a lot of action in.
Really fun to have the high school games back. back, to have this part of the season back. It's so exciting. I love it. Love it for the kids and the families and everything, and really appreciate the coverage by you, Randy. Thank you so much for all that.
Yeah, isn't it fun to just think of those schools that have the softball, the track going on at the same time, soccer. Yeah. You know, it's really a blast.
I love all of our high school sports and everything, but I am such a sucker for track and field.
Yeah.
I could sit and watch track and field all day, and especially high school level. It's so cool to see it. It's get so into it. I love it. I miss it so much. I want to stick local here a little bit because we started off the show talking about baseball and the new rule changes. I wanted to mention our rafters, and of course, we got the rafter season every day a little bit closer. We're excited about that. I'm curious, when it comes to minor league baseball, Northwoods League, leagues like that, even we could extend this to college baseball, how quickly, in college baseball, they've already kind of done this, and some in minor league baseball, but how quickly do like leagues like the Northwoods League and that have to adapt to what MLB is doing?
Mm.
Do they? Don't they? Do you think they should? Shouldn't they? While these leagues are fun for us as fans, and we love them and everything, I don't know if it gets lost to people or not, but it never does to me as somebody who has spent every day of my life chasing down a dream. That's what these young people are doing. They're trying to chase down a dream. They want to become professionals. The league, the fans, all that are not doing them any favors if they get in, they get a contract with an MLB team, they go into AAA, and all of a sudden there's a pitch clock. And they've never dealt with that before. Like, I'm curious to see if they will change these rules for let's just look at the Northwoods League. Let's break it down and make it simple. Will the Northwoods League introduce these same rules or some of these rules? I don't know if they have to. I don't know if they're thinking about it. And I don't even know if this is a good question, to be honest. But I have to be honest. I've been thinking about it a lot because I grew up with my dad in minor league hockey, and I know how hard those guys work to try to chase down that dream and everything. But it would have done them no good if the rules were completely different. It's similar to college football. You notice, like when we were kids, Randy, college football and the NFL look very different. It's getting more and more alike as we go along here because they need these kids. There's too much money invested. There's too much going on. I need this kid to come out of college. I need that wide receiver to be able to come out of college and know what a go route is or know what this is and everything. We see the difference. Like NFL coaches and scouts see the difference of a guy who comes from a system that is more in favor of the NFL or a system that isn't. We see it happen all the time where that kid doesn't get drafted as high because he doesn't come from a pro system. What's going to happen to baseball players, to these younger players, to these minor league baseball just got a raise. They just raised the rate for minor league baseball players. That was nice to see. I didn't see anything about the rules. And I know in minor league baseball, like AAA, that's where a lot of these rules started. They sampled them out there to see if they would work. But I'm more so inclined, like with college baseball, with the Northwoods League, things like that. Do they need to do this to prepare these kids so that they're ready?
Yeah, it's a lot of interesting things were running through my mind when you were bringing up the different aspects of it. You think of like college football. You think that's just kind of the training ground for the NFL, right?
Yeah,
that's where they draft them from, right?
And
I hear this a lot. Why do they only have to have 1 foot in bounds?
Yeah, I've wondered this. My whole life.
That if you're going to get them ready for the NFL, make it exactly the same on that. There's some things that they don't have to be the same on, like the overtime rules.
Yeah,
You don't have to get ready for that. Mm-hmm. You're playing football. You just adapt to that rule. But things like that make a difference. Like that, I think that's one thing. I thought also about basketball. Even in the high school. They added the 3-point line, right?
Yeah.
I think that was about 1986 when they put that in. They've been moving the one back in college, right, to get them ready for the NBA as well. I think of even what they did with the girls' high school basketball game. As with the boys, they changed it to a half because they wanted them to get ready for
high
school. But then what was strange was that very next year, the college girls went to quarters. But the high school girls didn't go back to quarters.
Weird.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You would think that if you want these kids to get ready for the next level, you would go back to quarters, right? And as I really like the quarters because it kind of gave the coaches an extra time out in there.
I like the quarters.
Then you had all that strategy at the end of a quarter, right? Do we go for a last shot? It makes it I thought it was a more interesting game that way. And especially in the high school level in our state with the smaller schools.
Yeah.
If you got a short bench, it's long games. So I think what they'll probably take a look at, and they'll probably, in my opinion, wait for a year.
Yeah.
See how all of this plays out, and mm-hmm. they'll say, you know what, maybe MLB isn't going to stick with this, and they're going to make a change to it. So for us to change right now, when they've just changed again, we'll be changing all the time, too. Let's just see which ones work out well. They don't tweak at all, and then maybe we'll implement them next year or in the future.
I think you're right. I think that's probably how that's going to go. I want to take our final break, get that out of the way. When we come back, I don't give you enough chance to do this, Randy. We're going to talk golf when we come back. All right?
Next thing on my mind.
I thought you'd like that. We'll talk some golf when we come back, and we'll talk to you because this is your call-in show, everybody. Call up 424-2600. Go ahead and bring us your sports thoughts and feelings to Playmakers, which is brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. We're sitting back with Randy Paul and taking calls from you guys, 424-2600, if you want to call up. Randy, I don't give you enough time to talk golf, really. We're coming out of the Masters. If we're going to talk golf, now is the time.
Right.
Any thoughts or feelings coming out of the Masters?
Well, you know, with Easter weekend being here, you know, having a lot of activities taking place, didn't get to watch as much as I would have liked to,
yeah.
but, you know, just kept an ear to the screen as much as we could, and just watching the comeback by John Rahm. That guy is playing some incredible golf, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was an 8-stroke swing yesterday. He was 4 strokes back going into yesterday, and he ended up winning by 4. I mean, that is a huge turnaround. And, of course, then there's all that controversy, how the Augusta allowed the LIV players to come into there. And one of the commentators, I believe it was Friday, or maybe it was yesterday, I don't know. They made the comment that, I think it was yesterday, Rahm made a par. And mm-hmm. they said they've never heard such a roar mm-hmm. for a par, because I think Koepka bogeyed that hole.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, he's being one of the LIV golfers and Rahm not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people were very polite from everything that I saw whenever one of the LIV golfers would do well, you know, but whenever one of the regular PGA Tour players did well, it seemed like the roar grew, you know, substantially.
Yeah. I saw some comments coming out of this one, because I didn't get to see much either. I was pretty busy over the weekend. Whenever I would look at a highlight, or whenever I would look at the leaderboard, it was Brooks up there. And it kind of looked like it was his to lose kind of thing. So then you end up seeing him lose on Sunday and all that. And I immediately, like, well, did he choke or whatever? And I'm looking into it. And the biggest things I'm seeing is, well, these LIV golfers don't golf as much. Like, it's a different 98 holes compared to another set of holes. Or like, the LIV tournaments are shorter or something.
They are, right.
So there was some talk about the LIV golfers not having the stamina that they normally would on a PGA Tour. And I thought that was really interesting. I thought that just adds one more little, like, you know, crease into this.
Yeah, watching a little of the conversation on the Golf Channel with Brandon Chambly and listening to some other people who were following this the last week, they're saying, you know, they pair up, they've got music playing during the LIV events, they're wearing shorts, you know, everything's different. And one of the commentators on the Golf Channel made the observation that, do they have that pressure? You know, one guy said, I can always rely on my partner, right?
Yeah.
Now I don't have that partner to rely on. And, mm-hmm. and so just having that time away from that competition, they thought it might be difficult for a LIV golfer to win. Now, did that play into it at the end? I don't know. But I would imagine that some of those people were saying, see, I told you so. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
We're a John Rahm. He's just put his nose to the grindstone, and he's been playing so well as of late. So that was interesting. And then the amateur. How much fun was that? Sam Bennett, who after the second round was 8 under par.
Yeah.
And I think he was in third place at the time, and it was hilarious. So he's in the cabin, and he's having a conversation with Scott Van Pelt. And, you know, he asked him, he says, you know, are you nervous out there? You're playing with all of these people that you've probably watched, you know, during your career growing up. And he goes, you know what? To be honest with you, I'm more nervous sitting here talking to you. And how true, right? Because he's
got that
camera right in his face.
Yeah,
he's got to answer the questions correctly. He says, when I'm on the golf course, you know, I'm just out there and I'm on every shot and I'm just concentrating here and I'm not really thinking about, like you are saying to me.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the funniest comments.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I got to check that out. I as far as the LIV and the PGA and all that goes, I heard Scott Van Pelt on Pardon the Interruption talking about this, that for him being down there at Augusta, he didn't hear anybody talking about it. Didn't hear anybody mentioning it, really. It wasn't really brought up a whole lot. It seemed like it wasn't until the actual games, or the matches, if you will, that the fans started to kind of let people know about that, how they felt about it. And being... like golf fans, they did this in the classiest way possible by not necessarily like booing other people. We just cheered louder for others. Right. I like that. I think that's
it makes me think of like a high school basketball game where they introduce the other team and everybody gives them that polite clap.
Yes.
The golf clap.
Yes.
And then your team comes out and they go crazy.
Yes.
And the lights start flashing and everything.
I actually think that's better than booing.
Yes.
Like, I love the idea of, say there's a batter coming up that everybody in the stadium hates. Silence. Just complete silence. Like, I think that freak them out just as much as the booing. That's one of the fun things about being a fan, being a part of things. And golf, golf has always been looking for more viewers. Golf has always been looking for people to come to our games and
stuff. And that's why they show Tiger when he's 15 strokes behind.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's the draw.
And that's the thing, is that, well, Tiger, it's getting harder and harder to imagine him being able to do. I can't imagine him being at next year's Masters.
Yeah.
I don't. You're losing that guy sooner or later, if you haven't already. And you need these young faces to step up. You need these young faces to take over. That wasn't happening. We expected Rory McIlroy. We expected some of these. And they're big and they're great golfers, but there's only one Tiger. You can't necessarily expect them to be Tiger. But what you can do is get a villain. I don't believe that. I genuinely believe that there is no superhero ever that would be as popular if they didn't have a villain. Nobody's reading the Superman comics or anything if there's no Lex Luthor. You know, if he's got nobody to fight up against, you need a villain. You need a bad guy. One of the best things that ever happened to the NFL, the New England Patriots. We hated the Patriots. Hated them. In my lifetime, I don't know if there was a franchise that has been universally disliked so much as the New England Patriots. Outside of New Hampshire, everybody couldn't stand the Patriots. And the NFL loved that. It was their Darth Vader. It was their Lex Luthor. It gave people somebody to root against and everything. I think with golf, whether you like this or not, I think this may be really, really healthy for golf. You're creating division. You're creating a little bit of something we don't necessarily need any more of in our day-to-day lives. But in sports, it's what sports is made of. Division, rivalries. They talk about this all the time. The people who have really studied the NFL, who really know the history of the NFL. You can thank George Halas and Vince Lombardi for the NFL. Because the NFL doesn't survive without the Packers and Bears rivalry. You needed that rivalry. That's something that brought people in. It's something that people got interested by. The Sox and Yankees. I mean, you know, Lakers and Celtics. The NBA was built on the Lakers and Celtics. You need these things.
You know, it's interesting. People probably in this part of the state, biggest rival for the Packers, they might say the Vikings,
mm-hmm.
or they might say the Bears, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you live over on the eastern side of the state where I grew up, or if you live in Green Bay, you know who the biggest rival is?
Mm.
It's undoubtedly the Bears.
Yeah.
Personal story about it, right?
Mm.
So my uncle and aunt are going to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary, right? And so their kids are going to send them on a trip. And they said, Dad, you got to pick some times to get away and you can get and you go for that. And he's delaying. And they're like, what is taking him so long? You know what he was waiting for? The NFL schedule to come out, so they made sure he wasn't gone when the Bears were in Green Bay. I love you, honey, but the Bears are going to be in town
week. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so you're talking about rivalries. Yeah, that one struck home.
Yeah, that's great. I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see how this goes. I'm also curious to see the first time, because I think it will happen, a LIV golfer, a guy goes over to LIV, but then wants to leave LIV and come back to the PGA. I'm curious to see that happen.
Aren't they like banned right now for life, supposedly?
I think so. Yeah. I'm curious to see how strong the PGA is going to stick to that.
You know, you were talking about, what was it like out there, with between the two. And one of the things I heard was that they get together for that meal in the Butler cabin on Tuesday night with all the past Green Jacket winners, And they said at the beginning you could feel it was like, there's like tension there, like cutting it like with the butter knife. But I think they said it got better as the night went along. But even amongst each other. There was that feeling there. So that was interesting to hear as well.
It's going to be fascinating to see how this develops for golf, for golf fans, for young golfers. You know, for a young kid that's in college right now on a golf team looking at, you know, going pro and everything, he's had his one option his whole life. Now he's got two. I don't know, he or she. I don't know what that, if that changes things or not for them either. That's an interesting thing, too. If you're the PGA, you got to keep an eye on that because that's your pipeline. And you've never had any competition. Now you've got some competition. Maybe that's a good thing for the PGA. I don't like the LIV Golf. I'll be completely honest. I will never watch a LIV Golf, like a hole. I wouldn't watch a warm-up thing of that. That's a personal feeling for me because I don't like the money, where the money's coming from and all that.
Right.
I'm not saying that there's clean money in the PGA or NFL or anything like that. I understand the hypocrisy of it. I'm very well aware. This is a choice that I've made. But I think that it's good for golf in some ways.
You know, it was interesting. Just I saw a little bit of Phil, you know, and he ended up being the oldest player ever to finish in the top five in the Masters, and he tied for second, four strokes out of lead, made a nice run. He was within two when he finished his round. And I always enjoyed watching Phil, but again, he had some interesting things happen in his life. And, you know, the roars for Phil, I didn't hear those either. Again,
so
I didn't
weird
see a lot.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, people just adored that man.
Yeah.
It was nigh on to Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, that type of thing, but... Yeah.
My brother is such a big golf fan. He was telling me that there were people that felt literally heartbroken when Phil went to the LIV Golf.
Yeah.
Like, that was the of all the guys, that was the guy they couldn't handle, they couldn't stand.
Some people are probably like, ah, whatever. But mm-hmm. you know, certain ones are probably like, oh, no.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to touch on real quickly, and I'm watching the clock right now. Okay. I got 30. I'm giving myself 30 seconds to mention Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And that's it. And then we're going to talk NBA playoffs okay. to go to the top
Ready,
of the
set.
Hour.
Go.
And go. So I had I'm surrounded by tons of Packer fans in my life and everything. And I'm talking to them. And my buddy is mentioning how tired he is of the Aaron Rodgers saga and all this talk about it and just dragging it out. And won't they just get it done with? And he's going on and on and on. And I look at him and I'm like, you think you're tired of Aaron Rodgers? Try being a Bear fan. I've been tired of that guy for 19 years. Twice a year, I'm tired of him. He missed me with that. Of course I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers. We're all tired of it. I am curious to see if they are going to get something done before the draft. I got to think that they will, because that's a big part of this trade, is getting that capital for this particular draft.
One thing I read was that they figured they would trade him right at the second round, because that's when they figure they can get, you know, somebody to jump in there, whether it's San Francisco or they're just using that as a ploy, I don't know.
Well, if I will say this, if I'm Gutekunst and I'm any good at my job, I'm talking to other teams.
Absolutely.
You can't just be talking, no matter what Aaron Rodgers said, I don't care what he said.
They got the Jets over a barrel right now.
Yeah, yeah. And this isn't the kind of scenario, because I've heard some talking heads say that, this puts them both in a bad position because the Packers don't want to bring Aaron back. Packers bring Aaron back, just have him sit on the bench.
They're going to have to pay him anyway.
They're going to have to pay him anyway, yes. To me, this is not, that is not true. That is not a fair scenario. I don't think that this isn't a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you know? This is business, and people have to work around people they don't like all the time. They're going to be okay with Aaron coming back in the building if he has to. They're not going to settle. That's not going to happen. I don't think that you're looking at a team that's desperate to get rid of him. They're looking to get rid of him, yes, but they're not going to take anything less. Do they have to have realistic expectations? Yes, you're not going to get three first-rounders for Aaron Rodgers. But you don't also have to get like a seventh rounder for him. You can, you know, find that middle ground.
There's talk about, you know, third rounders for him. And then somebody went through a whole list of the third rounders the Packers have picked in the last whatever years, and that was not good.
Yeah.
So don't pick any, don't trade him for any third rounders.
No. A little more positive thing I think to wrap up on is your Milwaukee Bucks, everybody. The number one seeded Milwaukee Bucks and Denver Nuggets are hoping for home court advantage throughout the postseason. They're hoping that helps. Both of them have a possible MVP candidate as well. I think there's only one true MVP this year. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You want to hear something real quick on Giannis?
Yeah, yeah.
Only two players in NBA history have averaged 30 points per game, more than 30 points per game, more than 10 rebounds per game, and more than 5 assists per game. One of them was Wilt Chamberlain. You know who the other one was? Yeah, Giannis.
Giannis.
Yeah. That's what he did this year. And he's like third in the MVP voting, really?
Wilbon says this all the time. Anytime you're on a list with Wilt, like the end of discussion.
Yeah.
And, like that's it. Like right. The only reason he's not higher on the MVP list is because he's won MVP before,
right.
Which is ridiculous
right.
to me. I think that's one of the more silly things. And I love basketball. I love the NBA. I think that's one of the most silly, ridiculous things to me. And this has been the same way when I was a kid. Michael Jordan goes off and has one of the greatest years I've ever seen. Karl Malone's named MVP. Like why? Well, because Michael's already got a couple of them. So? Like, I don't care.
Notice I didn't mention Michael's name in that list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What does that tell you right there?
Exactly. If you're on a list with it's you and Wilt Chamberlain, like, hey, where's my trophy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, there's no excuse. It's not to take anything away. Joel Embiid's had some nice games this season.
Right.
I don't think he's had a complete enough season.
The Joker's been good.
Joker's been very good.
Yes.
That's the one guy that I would say where it's a little bit of a competition. But. Again, what Giannis is doing is different than what he is doing. What Joker's doing is cool and impressive, but what Giannis is doing, we've never seen.
And I think I also read he shot over 50% from the field.
That's right. That was the thing. I was
Maybe
trying to think of the stat. There was another stat there, 52%, yeah, 53%, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what Giannis is doing, man, it was already enough when he really got to this size that he is now, and you first see him getting comfortable on the court, and he's like a deer. It takes him two steps to get to the basket. His flow is so smooth and everything. The way he cuts through
and
guys.
He can spin at his size.
At that size, seeing it.
And he can just reach, and all of a sudden he just stuffs it. You don't think he's ever close to the basket. You know, I just think that, I don't know. I think we just cannot believe we've got such a good player.
Yeah.
He's ours.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we almost take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, he's awesome.
I think the other cool part of this is, too, is that you've got not only is he Milwaukee, you know, though he might as well be from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Like, he has embedded himself in that city so much.
Could have went wherever he wanted to.
They got Greek restaurants opening up all over the place for him and stuff. Not just for him, but because of him in some ways. And
the cool thing you see, the cool things you see him do with kids, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a guy who wants to stay here too, and that's pretty cool.
That
has been really good to see. I cannot wait for these playoffs to start. I'm picking the Bucks to win this thing. I think the Bucks can win this whole thing.
Yeah, they got a chance. Three play-in games in both the East and the West that'll wrap up on Friday. So next 4 days should be fun.
Randy won't be able to be with us next week. You get the week off. You lucky guy. Go ahead and, you know, rest up a little bit. But we will talk with you soon. Thank you for the local coverage and all you do, Randy. We appreciate it.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks to you all. Callers for calling up and joining us today. We'll have more playmakers for you next week. Join the conversation then here at and a shout out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank you, Phil and the gang over there. Buy local, support local, visit Quality Plus Printing. We'll be back with more coming up on the morning show. No, coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.